From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The council that manages fishing in federal waters voted to link groundfish trawl fishing in the Bering Sea and the Aleutian Islands to halibut abundance this week. The action caps, at least for now, a six-year debate about curbing halibut bycatch in Alaska. For many who have been following that debate, the decision came as a surprise, since it's expected to deal what trawlers say is a devastating blow to their fishery. But members of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council said it was also important for them to consider how high levels of bycatch hurt small boat halibut fishermen in western Alaska, even if they didn't go quite as far as advocates from those communities would have hoped. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has the story.
The action that ultimately passed Monday came from Rachel Baker, Deputy Fish and Game Commissioner who represents Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration on the council. She said it will incentivize the large catcher processors known as trawlers to reduce the halibut they incidentally catch in their nets. When halibut stocks are low, the cap on prohibited species catch, or PSC, will also drop.
Mr. Chair, this council clearly would rather not impose additional costs that could result in reduced groundfish harvest and revenues if we had other management options. But again, halibut is fully used in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands, and at the low and very low index states, mortality from PSC should decline in response to reduced amounts of halibut available for all users.
The council's long considered setting stricter limits on the Amendment 80 fleet, made up of fishermen and processors that catch groundfish in the Bering Sea. That sector catches the largest amount of halibut bycatch in the region, an estimated 2.8 million pounds every year. As it is now, the cap on bycatch in place for the fleet is fixed and not adjusted to halibut abundance. So when abundance is low, bycatch makes up a larger slice of the overall pie. And the last time that cap was changed was 5 years ago. The council voted to make that cap dependent on the abundance of halibut in the area. Under the new guidelines, when halibut abundance is high, the fleet could catch the same amount of bycatch it's limited to now. But when abundance is very low, that cap would drop by 35%. Chris Woodley is executive director of the Groundfish Forum, the fishery association that represents those trawlers. He's against the decision the council took, and he says without new tools to curb halibut bycatch, the fleet will have to reduce its fishing to meet those lower caps.
I feel like this is just a devastating impact to us because you're being told to do better without more tools. And that's going to harm our crew members, it's going to reduce our revenues, and again, harm our crews and harm our crew members' families.
Woodley says the fleet has been working to lower its halibut bycatch already. The fisheries in the region have reduced bycatch by 34% in recent years. Most of the 2,000-plus fishermen in the fleet come from out of state. Woodley says they'll bear much of the impact as the fleet's fishing opportunities change. An analysis suggests the action will result in tens of millions in losses for the fishery. But council members say they're also taking into account the social and cultural impacts of bycatch. The halibut fishery in St. Paul, a small island community in the Bering Sea, originated in the 1980s as the commercial seal harvest there phased out. Today, it's the primary source of income for the about 350 residents there. Lauren Devine with the Aleut community of St. Paul Island said that value is immeasurable and not purely economic either.
What is the value of the health of the halibut population, the Bering Sea ecosystem, the connected large marine ecosystems of Alaska that are vital to our people, families, communities, businesses, cultures, and the nation?
Devine and other tribal leaders had been pushing for another option this week, which would have taken an even bigger swing at reducing bycatch. They say that would have also opened up more fishing opportunities for the small boat fishermen like those in St. Paul. The alternative was also backed by a bipartisan coalition of Alaska legislators and fishermen's associations across the state, who provided hours of testimony to the council last week. Marissa Wilson is a member of the council's advisory panel and a fisherman based in Homer. She says the council's impact analysis did not take into account the impacts of bycatch on communities around Alaska.
There are values involved in this decision that are not adequately captured, and there are grave intergenerational consequences of choosing any alternative besides four.
The council says it can't guarantee reducing bycatch will help halibut fishermen. It's actually a different council that manages halibut stocks, the International Pacific Halibut Commission. A spokesperson for the commission told council members that changing the cap will have little impact on halibut spawning in the region. But it could change the amount of halibut commercial and subsistence fishermen are able to catch. Councilmember Andy Mesereau, a charter operator in Seward, says it's important to share the burden of halibut conservation between sectors.
The Amendment 80 fleet may, in fact, have to face doing more with less. But we are moving this action one step closer to having all fishermen share in this burden.
Mesereau voted yes on Monday's motion, as did the other representatives to the council from Alaska. The motion passed the council 8-3. Jeff Kaufman is celebrating that decision. He's the vice president of the Central Bering Sea Fishermen's Association and a commercial halibut fisherman himself. He says while the measure doesn't go as far as he would have liked, it's an exciting step in the right direction.
This is the big day for St. Paul and the indigenous small boat fishermen that live there. Because the halibut fishery is so important to St. Paul, we spent 6 years and tremendous resources and efforts to get to this better place.
This week's decision marks the first time the federal council's linked halibut bycatch to abundance. It will likely take up more bycatch issues next year. NOAA Fisheries will have to review the final action before it goes into effect. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Alaska's economic development districts are in the running to win $50 million in federal money to grow the state's seaweed and shellfish farming industry, known collectively as mariculture. The U.S. Economic Development Administration announced this week that the proposed mariculture project is among 60 finalists for a Build Back Better Regional Challenge grant. As KDLL's Sabine Pooks reports, it's all part of a plan to turn the state's seaweed and shellfish trade into a booming industry.
More kelp and oyster farms have been popping up along Alaska's shorelines in recent years. But the state still has a long way to go if it's going to turn the industry into the $100 million business it hopes to build by 2040.
Where we stand right now is, for the most part, we're more of a cottage industry than a full-blown industry.
Tim Dillon directs the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District. He says a lot of the mariculture action in Alaska is playing out in Southeast. In South Central, it's mostly concentrated on the far side of Kachemak Bay. Dillon says he sees potential for producers hailing from other parts of the Kenai Peninsula and Alaska, too.
It depends on who wants to play, and we want to make sure that we're there to help. And one of the big issues and things that we're working on is to find out, okay, how much money do you think you need to go from A to C, and whether that investment is worth it or not.
Dillon says that scoping will go until mid-March, when the group has to submit its final grant proposal to the feds. Every finalist for the Build Back Better grant, including the Alaska Mariculture Group, gets $500,000. Dillon says they'll use that money to further flesh out their goals for the project. But the 20 to 30 finalists who pass through a second phase can get up to $100 million. It all comes from the Federal American Rescue Plan Act, the COVID-19 relief stimulus package passed by the federal government early this year. The Kenai Peninsula District is one of the partners on the proposed project. Its counterpart in Southeast Alaska, the Southeast Conference, is taking the lead. Robert Venables is executive director of that district. He says a big hurdle facing producers now is the small size of the industry, particularly when it comes to marketing and selling a final product.
It's kind of an awkward stage of things right now where, you know, there's a lot of small businesses scattered around coastal Alaska. And, you know, they don't have the economies of scale to really take that big leap forward. And so this route will help them with supply and infrastructure in order to step up, throw in the workforce component and develop the markets. And all of a sudden you added an element to our economies that just simply does not exist today.
In 2019, NOAA valued Alaska's mariculture industry at $1.4 million. Advocates say the state has the potential to be a leader in mariculture, since it has more coastline than any other state in the country. One area for growth outlined in the project proposal is workforce development. Dillon says mariculture jobs could help balance the decline of other industries in Alaska's coastal communities, like commercial fishing. Bringing more of the industry into the public eye is also a priority. Dillon says he's still learning himself.
I didn't know what a flopsy was a year ago, but I, you know, that's the equipment that they use for oysters, you know, for, you know, going from seed to spat to eventually oysters.
The mariculture program was one of nearly 530 applicants to the Build Back Better program. Another Alaska project is a finalist for the grant, too. That project, proposed by Southeast nonprofit Spruce Root, would fund more sustainable forest development in the region as an alternative to logging. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.